The views and opinions expressed by the guests on the following program do not necessarily represent those of Mark Radio, The Shepherd, or its advertisers.
From the studios of the Shepherd Radio Network, it's Afternoons with Mike. This next hour is all about our walk with Jesus, with local pastors, newsmakers, people who are making a difference for the gospel. Now, here is your host, Mike Gilland.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to Afternoons with Mike. Happy to have you along with me. I've got somebody new from the Sharing Center. I've never met Chris Hamm until today, but you kind of live up to your name. You've got a great personality, my man.
I remind
people. Do you get that a lot?
I do. My wife constantly says, oh, he's a ham.
Okay, he's a ham.
People misspell my name all the time. They spell it with two M's, and I'm like, it's one M, just
one
like
M.
The hind end of a hog. Think of my face. But again, we're on the radio, and I have the face for radio.
You do. You have a face for radio.
I have a face for radio.
So do I.
That's what they've been told. Yeah, you do too.
Yeah,
I wasn't going to say that, but really, Mike, I think we're in the right spot.
Right.
I'm glad we're not live broadcasting this
right.
over Facebook yeah. or any of those other platforms.
Little children might be
Facebook?
Scarred for life and all of that good stuff.
They generally are.
Now, there's something about Chris that I found out that I just have to share, because at one point in his life, he was the guy on the Jungle Cruise boat at Walt Disney World that was leading everybody through the adventure. And one joke after another, I mean, you know, the whole shorthand, I remember that one. Don't stick your hand out. You might have a career in shorthand.
In a shorthand, yeah. Or there's that alligator over there. That's old Smiley. Be careful. That's his girlfriend, Ginger. She snaps. Yeah. But I was Crocodile Chris, and welcome aboard the world-famous Jungle Cruise.
I wonder just how many of our listeners would have had Chris as the guide on the Jungle Cruise at some point.
You know, we didn't have cell phone cameras in the early 90s. I wish I had a video of me doing it.
Yeah.
I've got a few really bad photos of me back when I had to wear the high socks and the floppy hat and all that. But it was a blast doing that. There's not a lot of jobs in this world where you get to tell some really bad, really are dad jokes.
Dad jokes, yeah.
They're bad jokes, but for 10 minutes and you take people oftentimes that are hot and angry, they're tired, you talk to them a little bit, you act like a goof, which is natural for me, and they end up clapping and cheering.
Yeah.
And they're having a good time, and you go, oh, that's kind of why we do what we do.
It is.
When you're down there creating magic for families and creating memories. And it's goofy, and I'm excited, and I still like the ride now, 30-odd years later. I take my kids on it, and they shake their head because I still do the jokes.
You know, all of the dads that were on that ride loved it because we could sit down for a break and not be carrying our kids all around the place. That was an exhausting place to go.
It still is an exhausting place
to
go. I take my kids. We still enjoy it. We get to walk around and get to see things. What I like about it is it has actually get my kid off their phone, and they don't realize it, but all of a sudden we're like, you just walked 7 miles. I looked down at my little app, and I'm like, you didn't realize you walked 7 miles.
Got some exercise in
there. I didn't
there.
Have to beat you off the phone.
That's funny.
It's fun.
Yeah, we didn't have cell phones back in the day. We didn't have that kind of distraction. We just got to enjoy the park for all of its fun and all of the neat things by itself. But, I mean, you know, you're right. Kids today go to places like that, and their heads are down looking at the screen half the time they're there.
Absolutely. And I'm a dad of three, and it's a constant struggle in our house. I'm the first to admit, and I'm guilty of it too. And one of the things I've actually stopped doing, we're totally off topic, but I used to like read Kindle books on my phone, and my kid's like, you're on the phone all the time. I'm like, no, Dad, I'm just reading a book.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm trying to stop doing that this summer and pick up physical books so they see I'm actually just reading a book.
Actually reading a book.
Reading a book. I'm not just staring at my phone doing something silly like you might be due, child, that I love and adore. So,
yeah, don't do as Dad does. Do as Dad says. That doesn't work.
It doesn't work. It didn't work for me when I was a child.
Yeah, it doesn't. Well, you're here today again representing the Sharing Center, and our good friend Nina Yan has been on the radio here with me numerous times. You've been there, what, less than a couple of years now, right?
Mm-hmm. Right at about a year.
And you called yourself something that I've never heard a pastor do. You said you're a free-range pastor. Now, free-range hens, chickens, I've heard of, but not a free-range pasture. So please explain that one for our listeners.
That's a great question, Mike. You know, so my family and I, we served churches for almost two decades as a Presbyterian. We were in Atlanta and Indianapolis and Germantown, Tennessee and Port St. Lucie, Florida and Springfield, Missouri. And our oldest had been like in four elementary schools. And we were like, we got to stop. We need to bloom where we're planted. My folks were getting older. They still live here in town. And we said, where do we want to live? Where do we want to spend the next 15, 20 mm-hmm. years and allow our children to bloom where they're planted? And so we had gotten a sabbatical from a church, and we're trying to use that time to figure out what was next, what was the next steps in our ministry. And we wanted to come back to Central Florida. I'm from here. My wife's from South Florida. She was, she was born in Memphis, but then she was raised in Juneau Beach. And she said, I love Orlando. And I was like, I love Orlando too, so I'm ready to go. And we settled in Seminole County, which we love. It kind of reminds me of Winter Park a little bit, because I live near Wakaiva State Park, so I can jump on the river real easy in my neighborhood. So I go paddleboarding and canoeing. And we just decided to bloom where we're planted. We came down here. I'm a very part-time chaplain at a local hospital. When they need help, I go on call. In fact, I'm going on call this weekend a bit to cover for them, to help them out. And then I've been helping some churches in East Orlando, and then I do supply preaching. Mm-hmm. And I'm able to tell the story of the Sharing Center, which is a lot of fun.
You know, that is an important thing to have for a lot of churches that don't have large staffs. And when their pastor's gone, or perhaps is in a point of sickness or whatever, there have been a lot of instances where I've heard where people like yourself would step into the pulpit. Yep. And serve as the interim for whatever amount of time they need it.
Interim or even just helping a pastor out. There's a local pastor that's a friend of mine, and we were just hanging out the other day. He's like, oh, yeah, I need to go on vacation again. Can you cover this day? Absolutely, because, you know, our pastors work so hard, and a lot of them don't get the rest they need, especially after this COVID season. This has been an unheralded time for the church community that we're living in. And while they haven't been open until recently, there's just a lot of extra stress and strain on a lot of our pastors. And so I'm really going to encourage your listeners, first of all, to continually pray for your pastors. Those folks really need your prayer and your support, and encourage them to take rest. Mm-hmm. And so that's what I can do. I can come in and give them rest for a week or two and preach for them, and which is a lot of fun for me. I still get to do it because I did it regularly for a long time.
Well, you know, that is a wonderful thing to do. And you're working with an organization that also works alongside churches and pastors. In fact, our own church that I'm a part of is a big supporter of the Sharing Center. And we are constantly talking about it from the pulpit. And it is one of these community outreaches that people hear about. And it's really hard to get your brain around all of the things that Sharing Center does. Now, I've taken a tour there, and if our listeners have never heard or really learned much about this place, you guys have one storefront after another, and every one of those storefronts, it looks like a business, like what you would go to, what we used to call a strip mall. That kind of an outdoor connected building where you've got numerous businesses there. Well, it's all by the Sharing Center, and yet every one of these storefronts would have a different ministry or a different outreach to the community, be it a barbershop for those that are homeless, a shower area where people who are homeless can come and actually just really enjoy the facilities of that place. It's really wonderful that you can do that. And then you've got these other, like a thrift shop for people to do shopping. They do food giveaways. It's just amazing what you guys are doing.
Thanks. Yeah, it is a strip mall. We do own it. We bought it in 2004, and it was really a kind of a leap of faith for the board at that point because they took a large mortgage out. And in fact, at one point, we had like a biker bar in there at one end of our facility. Mm-hmm. And slowly through the years, as we've expanded our thrift store, we have expanded our outreach. We kind of call it a social enterprise model because our thrift store and our high-end boutique and our furniture store will do about $1 million in sales this year. And what's fascinating and what's amazing and I think is really just a gift from God, 89% of that goes back into unrestricted programming for neighbors in need. Mm-hmm. So what we're able to do is take those funds and turn around and help them and our neighbors. We also operate the largest free food pantry in Seminole County. So last year we gave out almost 1.5 million pounds of food.
Wow.
We also do financial assistance for folks in Seminole County. So churches like yours and others refer folks to us. They come to us every single day, and we provide financial assistance for rent, for utilities, for car payments, or whatever it is they need. Nobody gets cash from us. They all get it to us from, we give it to their agency or wherever they're living. And then we do operate, like you mentioned, the Homeless Outreach Center. We call it the Oasis,
mm-hmm.
and it's currently in 1,200 square feet. We have 3 showers, and every day, homeless men, women, and children, they come to us. They can get a hot shower. We'll do their laundry for them. We'll give them a meal. They can get a haircut. They can get case management, charge their phones. And we're also a postal address, because if you're homeless, living in a car, or you're living on someone's sofa, you got to have an address to do anything.
Right.
And so we get disability checks, VA checks, government checks. We get all kinds of correspondence for a lot of these folks that come to us every single day. And what we're really excited about is we just announced last week that we are tripling the size of the Oasis.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
I haven't heard this.
Right. So we're excited. We're going to go from 3 showers to 6, from 6 washers and dryers to 8. We're going to add in additional case management offices, because we know for homeless men and women, the way to help them succeed and break out of homelessness is through case management, through one-on-one, mm-hmm. sitting down yeah. like we are, maybe mm-hmm. not on a podcast, but just sitting down, talking, figuring out what's going on. We're also going to increase our mental health capacity to be able to do counseling and expand our partnerships with Mid-Florida Counseling and RTS and others to do counseling for folks.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're most excited about a new program that we're just going to launch in a year from now, and we're calling it RISE. And RISE stands for Reach, Inspire, Sustain, and Empower. And our goal is to provide people who are homeless a really purposeful, structured, and dignified path from homeless into stability.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're going to do is we're going to bring them in. We're going to provide housing for them off-site, bring them in every single day for about 6 weeks or so, and then they're going to go through some mental health counseling, some case management. We're going to teach them some soft skills, emotional intelligence, work on their resumes, and do job skills training in the morning. And in the afternoon, we're going to put them to work on our campus, in our distribution center, our warehouse, give them job skills that they can use, and then do mock interviews at the end of this course to help them find stable employment.
And when you say case management, can you, because that sounds legal and it almost sounds like someone is in court or whatever, and that's not what you're talking about.
No, case management is the idea that you're really going to go face to face, one on one with someone, sit down and walk alongside them through their journey.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to sit down and go, what's going on? What are your goals? Almost like coaching. What are your goals? What do you want to do? Where do you want to end up? And how can we help you come alongside and help you navigate the systems that are there or may not be there mm-hmm. in those systems? So that's the idea behind case management, is sitting down one-on-one, getting to know the individual as a person, as a child of God, and hearing what their story is and how we can help them with their story.
And yet, what I love about these organizations, you're one, Christian Helps another,
great
where
partners.
There is a, you know, a great partner, where you guys really have a heart to help these that are without a place to live, the homeless that you serve, and maintain their dignity, maintain a sense where they have a kind of like a safe place where they can go and really not feel just the scourge of what they deal with every day.
Absolutely. And that's one of our key words, is dignity. You know, even families and individuals that come to us, we'll give them a voucher to our thrift store. We want everybody to shop at our thrift store because the funds help us. But we also did about $750,000 in in-kind for families in need. So we give them a voucher. They go down to the thrift store and they get a chance to select the clothing or items they need for their family.
Mm-hmm.
We're not just handing them a bag of random clothes. They're going in and saying, oh, okay, this fits and this
yep.
does it. And so it gives them a sense of dignity and self-worth, which is so important when we want to, you know, our goal is to really treat people as we want to be treated. I mean, Jesus talked a lot about that, I think, you know. I mean,
yeah.
last time I read the scripture, he talked yeah. a little bit about the importance of that, you know. I mean, loving God, loving our neighbor. And so that's what we want to do, is we want to love our neighbor and treat
great.
Him with dignity and self-respect
mm-hmm.
because, you know, there but the grace of God go I, you know, who knows.
Now tell me a little bit about how you guys have come out of this crazy season called COVID.
Oh, it's been unprecedented for us. Fortunately, our program departments never closed. We did have to shut our thrift store down for about mm-hmm. 2.5 months, So we lost our revenue, but our employees all shifted because we also lost a lot of our volunteers, actually pretty much all of them. And we're dependent upon about 400 shifts a week of volunteers that come and help us. So we lost a ton of them at the height of COVID. They came over. So our employees that were cashiers or working in our warehouse started scrubbing the showers for the homeless and handing out food. And so we began to hand out food regularly to families in need.
Because that did not stop, you know.
It did not stop. People are still hungry.
Yeah.
And so we continued those services. And then when we reopened our stores, we started getting a lot of donated items because people did the COVID closet clean out, as I referred to it. And so we got a lot of great items, which we're really grateful for because that's our supply chain for our products that we need. The big thing is we really saw a lot more homeless folks. We saw about a 30% increase, 34% increase of homeless folks that were coming to us that maybe 2 years ago they were coming one day a week and maybe taking a shower. Now they're coming 2 or 3 days a week and taking a shower. They're getting their laundry done maybe twice. They're picking up their mail or they're charging their phones or getting on the computer to look for jobs or to file for things. And so we're seeing a big increase, which is why we're tripling the size of the Oasis.
And you know, you did all of that while losing, like you said, a good amount of your income that it goes right back into everything that you do because of the fact that COVID forced that thrift store to be closed and people couldn't donate there for a while. They couldn't even though they were going through, you're right, a lot of people did a lot of home cleaning and maybe cleaning out closets and getting rid of a bunch of, but they didn't have a place. That's what happened to us. We were still coming through the move to Orlando.
Oh, wow.
And so what we did, we just kept a bunch of our boxes and we filled them up. And when the day was clear, I loaded up a big van. And I came to the sharing center and
Excellent.
Gave a bunch of stuff.
Thank you, Mike. We appreciate that. We're open Monday through Saturday, 10 to 4. Just like Chick-fil-A, we're closed on Sundays. And we love donations. You know, and we were very fortunate. We had some very generous donors who financially stepped up. A lot of our church partners, a lot of businesses, and a lot of individuals saw the good work that we're doing. And we were very fortunate last year. But a lot of people really helped us out financially. And so we're just, we're really blessed for that. So, but we're excited. We're celebrating our 35th anniversary. It's, you know, it's hard to believe. I think I give tours all the time and I talk to folks. Because we were founded by 16 churches, it's kind of amazing because it was Roman Catholic churches, Moravian, Baptist, Independent, you know, Presbyterian, Methodist, Lutherans, and you know, that never happens, you know. I mean, they never agree on something, but they agreed. You know, it's unbelievable. You know, I'm a pastor and I know that. I'm like, we never get along, you know. I mean, look at Peter and Paul. They couldn't get along. So that's why we had to split in the early church. So for 2,000 plus years, we haven't gotten along on how to worship. But they came together to help our neighbors in need. And so for 35 years, we've been doing that and continuing to stand in the gap.
Yeah.
You know, I was actually meeting with another local pastor a couple months ago. And I was at one of our fast food restaurants, and I was getting a drink, and I was had my name tag on. And someone says, oh, you work for the sharing center. I said, oh, yeah, do you need some help? And I carry these little crisis cards. And she actually looked at me, and she said, you know, actually, Chris, I just got some help from y'all. She said, I was working at this restaurant with COVID. I lost all my hours. I didn't know what to do. And I was behind about $1,200 in my rent, and I'm a single mother, and I was going to move into my car, and I knew my children would be taken from me. So I came to y'all and you guys helped out with that assistance. Oh. I just got a promotion. I've got full-time hours. I'm guaranteed health care and everything, but I couldn't make up that difference. And y'all stood in the gap. And she said, I just wanted to thank you.
Wow.
And I'm sitting there getting a drink and I'm crying.
Yeah, you know? Sure. That's a stopgap that really makes a difference in a person's life.
Yeah, that $1,200 for some of us, not that much, but some of us it's a lot, but we changed the course of her life.
Wow. I'll be back with Chris Hamm in just a moment. Don't go away. This is Afternoons with Mike. Here on The Shepherd. Listen, we all know in business nowadays, one of the hardest things to get right is your social media advertising. We all struggle with this, right? Trying to get content, good content at that, always struggling with your phone, never understanding the settings, and then when you finally post the picture or video, it looks terrible. Well, I'm about to let you in on a little secret in how to make this problem simply go away. I'm talking about Boundless Drone Services. Let me tell you, Boundless Drone Services takes away all the stress. Brian and his team are ready to help you create awesome video content of your next corporate event, training, or educational video. Or maybe you'd like to do what we did at Mark Radio and have them highlight the wonderful team that you have working for you. At Boundless Drone Services, they really can do it all. Contact them today at 407-601-2438 or go directly to their website at boundlessdroneservices.com to see how they can help you take your business to the next level in marketing. We are back again. Chris Hamm from the Sharing Center. He's the development director at this organization. A free-range pastor. Friends, I've got a new term. I'd never had that before. But Chris is also, he fills in with a lot of pulpits. And I like this guy. He's got a fun sense of humor. And he's here today talking about this incredible, most beloved organization called the Sharing Center. And it, too, is in where you live in Seminole County. And it's right up on 436 north of 434.
1792.
I'm sorry, 1792 north of 434.
Just about a mile north on the left-hand side.
Exactly.
We're right there. We've got the whole plaza right there in that whole section. We just still have a couple of businesses that rent space from us. We've got a couple of restaurants that rent from us. And then Shepherd's Hope, which is a wonderful partner of ours. They have a great medical clinic for the underinsured in Seminole County and also in Orange County, but we have a large clinic that they rent space, and they refer people to us, we refer people to them. So It's a great partnership we have with them.
Well, you've taken over that whole city block right there, that big, big complex, and you're doing this work because it is something that is, as we've just been talking about, it's needed. It's been more needed than ever due to this crazy year that we had in 2020, and we're getting away from that. And now you guys are celebrating 35 years with a kind of a really fun gala that's coming up.
Yeah, we're really excited about this. We were founded in 1986, so we've decided to host a gala. We've never done one before. We used to do sort of a Sunday afternoon event, but we are having an evening to help us celebrate of 35 years of Lighting the Way. You know, over our 35-year history, we've helped out over 400,000 individuals, which is amazing to me. And so we're going to get together on August 28th at the Orlando Marriott. There's information on my website, thesharingcenter.org/share-the-light. Spell that out, S-H-A-R-E-T-H-E-L-I-G-H-T. So you can find it on thesharingcenter.org. Find information. We've got some sponsorships available, a few more. We still have tickets for sale. Mm-hmm. It's going to be an 80s theme, so the bigger the hair, the better. For you and I, we might have to do more of the Miami Vice look, with the pink shirt and the white.
Or it's going to take socks. It's going to take the wig, man. That's what it's going to take.
I'm working on hair extensions. since I have the face for radio, people can't see that I am. You and I have very similar hairstyles.
Yes, we do.
They see your picture, but... We're really excited, and it's fun to be able to think back to our 35-year history. Mm-hmm. You know, we started as the South Seminole Christian Sharing Center Incorporated, which is a mouthful, and we've had different name changes. We've moved, but we've been in that location since 2004, and we've been really blessed to have that entire plaza, and we've just grown our services. You know, 18,500 people came to us last year for help. And, you know, it's been kind of fun because I was in Costco. I want to tell you this story about a couple months ago. And I was looking as a gift for myself, for my family, a stand-up paddleboard because I live near the Wakiva River and I love to be on the water.
And you're standing up on a paddleboard in the Wakiva River with all the gators.
Yeah, there's not that many.
No, not at all. Just keep telling yourself that.
Five or 10 every time. But I'm looking at them and there's another couple there and I'm just a natural talker, as you can guess. And I'm like, oh yeah, you know, I'm thinking really like a canoe for my kids. But the paddleboard is kind of a time for me to just do my own thing. And we were talking like, oh, we might have a canoe for sale and we live down the street. And I'm like, oh, here's my business card. I said, would you call me if you want to sell your canoe? And the lady looked at my card and it said, the Sharing Center. She said, wait, the Sharing Center? I said, yeah. She's like, you there in Longwood? I said, yes, ma'am. We've been there for 35 years. She said, well, I was just telling you about my daughter 23 years ago and you saved her life. And I looked at her and I'm in Costco and I'm like, ma'am? And she said, well, you see, I was an unwed mother. All my friends said I should abort the baby and I didn't want to do that. So I didn't know what to do. I had a $78 power bill. And I was about to have my electricity cut off, and I didn't know where to go. Someone said to check y'all out. I went down to you guys. You paid my $78 power bill. You gave me some food. You gave me a voucher for maternity clothes that I didn't have. You saved my daughter's life. And now she said, here's a picture of her. She's a nurse. You changed her life. And I'm just sitting there going, oh, yeah. My goodness. This is why I do what I do. And so
hopefully you were by the aisle in Costco that sells Kleenex, right?
No, I wasn't. I should have, you know. But I was flabbergasted. And I'm thinking to myself, $78, it's a power bill.
Yeah.
You know, and here in Seminole County, we've got, it's estimated about 50,000 of our 480,000 residents have less than $400 in the bank. Mm-hmm. Another one crisis away from mm-hmm. being in severe trouble. And so I love the fact that we have been able to help people for the last 35 years. We helped that lady 23 years ago and changed the course of her life and her daughter's life. You know, I mean, because we stood in the gap like we talked about mm-hmm. earlier. And that's what we continue to do every single day. You know, we got a line of homeless folks that are there every morning right now. And I get the privilege of getting to see them when I come in and see them line up. And I talk to them sometimes and ask them how they're doing. And some of them are happy being homeless. Let's be honest. This is America. They have that choice. You know, they live in one of our homeless camps. And there's nothing wrong with that if that's what they want. But if they want to break that cycle, we try to work with them to find them rapid rehousing, mm-hmm. find them a place to live, give them a shower and give them a sense of dignity. And our hope is, I mean, I'm going to be also honest with you, Mike. My prayer is every morning that we would go out of business. I wake up and I say, please, Lord, let us go out of business, because that means that every mouth is fed, every person has a house, and there's nobody else that's homeless.
That being the case, Chris, I can tell you that according to the Bible, you'll never be out of business.
I'll never be out of business, right. But I'm still praying for that, because that means that everyone would be in that situation. But until that day comes, we need to stand in the gap.
Yeah.
So that's what we're doing this gala called Share the Light. We're going to celebrate. We've got an 80s cover band coming called Switch. We're going to have a live auction. There'll be a silent auction. Some of the silent auction items will be available online, but then some of them will be very specific to those who are attendants at the gala. We're pretty excited about it. It's going to be a lot of fun up there at the Orlando Marriott on August 28th. You can still get some tickets on our website. But you can also check out our website and look at all of our other programs and all of our other events. We're always needing volunteers. And so if there's any high school kids out there and you want Bright Future Hours, give us a call. Actually, mm-hmm. go online. Don't give us a call. Go to our website. There's a spot for volunteers. We got about 400 volunteer shifts a week we need to fill. And our volunteer team does a fantastic job filling those. But we're always looking for those. Or if you want to bring a group or a church group, we'd love to host your church group. We've been hosting some kids from Serve Orlando coming up, doing some service projects this summer. We do special nights. We even have a family fun night the second Friday of the month. And your family can come on up, ages 5 and up. Our general volunteers, we really prefer like 15 or 16 and up. But for family fun night, you can be 5. Come up with your mom and dad, or come up with your dad, or just your mom, or whoever. We'll give you a pizza supper that's been provided by one of our generous sponsors, and you'll get to do some work hands-on helping our neighbors in need. And that's the second Friday of every month.
Something always going on up there. And, you know, you were talking about the different type of people that are in the clientele group that you serve, the homeless, especially in that group. And there are, and I believe that everything that I've heard would go along with what you're saying, that there are those, sadly, that are happy doing what that lifestyle. And maybe, you know, we've all heard the reports recently about people who are not, maybe they could work, they're choosing not to work. I think that's unfortunate, but mm-hmm. that it's really easy, isn't it, to kind of group all homeless people in that category, and that would not be true.
Absolutely not. And we have a lot of the folks that come to us that are looking for jobs. They're looking for stability. They want to work. They'll come in and, look, I want to get a job. I want to work. I'm not going to be homeless. We had a young lady that came to us and got in one of our programs, and she'd gotten into a fight with her family, and she said, I'm not sleeping in my car. This is not going to be me. I've got to break the cycle. And so we worked with her. We found her an apartment. We outfitted it from our furniture store and our clothing supplier and all of her supplies. We helped her find a job, and she's in that going, I'm not going to be homeless. I'm not mm-hmm. going to allow this to happen to me. And so we're working with those folks as quick as we can. We've got a rapid rehousing coordinator we're working with to try to get folks in housing that want it, you know, that they can break that cycle because it's difficult.
Now, there's a number of ways that people can help the Sharing Center. You've mentioned, obviously, this upcoming fundraiser, a live auction you mentioned. Yep. Are you still looking for items?
We're still looking for some live auction and some silent auction items, some baskets we'd really like to get. And there's all that information on our website, sharingcenter.org, /share the light. Folks can always come volunteer. We thrive on volunteers. I think I mentioned we have about 400 shifts a week that we fill with volunteers. You know, we keep our overhead low. It's only about 11%. And industry standard for a lot of nonprofits is 20 or 25. Mm-hmm. We're at 11, and we're really proud of that.
And not only that, but then there are businesses and even churches that right now are looking for things, looking for groups, looking for ways that their people can get involved, and that's not just for churches. Again, that's businesses as well.
Absolutely. We host business groups. We can do team building with your business Monday through Saturday. Advent Health has sent a lot of volunteers, Orlando Health. Topgolf, a great new partner, has been sending some of their volunteer teams down as sort of their corporate give back. So they come down and do volunteer work with us. They served at one of our food events last month. They came out where we've been doing special food distributions in area communities. We did one at, the last couple of ones have been at Annunciation Church in Altamont, and a bunch of folks come from different companies and help us deliver that food and hand it to families in need. So we'd love to have business folks and individuals, you know, if you want to come down and bring your, you know, bring your office staff and take a morning, we'd love to have you come in, or an afternoon. You can come on in, you could take them to lunch or have them come work and then go out afterwards. We have groups from churches that do that. And so it's a lot of fun for them to come, and they're sorting clothes, or maybe they're working in our thrift store, or maybe they're working in our food pantry. We've got lots of different options, and we can get anybody connected in that.
Now, what do people need to know in order to come to Share the Light?
In order to come to the Share the Light Gala on August 28th, you need to go to my website and you need to buy a ticket, or you need to sponsor a table. We've got a few more sponsorships available. We are limited a little, but we're going to have about 38 tables. We're excited about that. And there's a lot more information. That can always email me. My information's on that website. It's christopher.ham@thesharingcenter.org. That's one M, just like the hind end of a hog. I would tell you to remember my face, but again, you can't see me. Maybe I'll be on Facebook with some of these. But we'd love to have you come down. Take a look at that. And if the gala's not for you, we've got other opportunities. We're, like I said, we're always looking for volunteers. We're also, you know, we're wrapping up our fiscal year in a couple of months. We're starting our new campaigns. We're getting ready to, you know, triple the size of the Oasis. We have a special new fund called the 21 Fund to help us do that. So we're looking for corporate sponsors and individuals that want to come alongside us to help us build this new respite center for the homeless, and to also increase our opportunity for job skills, training, and case management and other areas. And I'd love to talk to anybody about that. So it's called the 21 Fund. That's also on my website. You can take a look at that information and they can get involved. We always need financial donors. We desperately need prayer partners to pray with and for us regularly. We need that. And then to come and volunteer and just to learn about us. I'll also love to host tours and show you around. And those are always open to folks to come and see what we do.
You know, you guys have this incredible food pantry type outfit that is really much more than what a lot of people might think of when they think of a food giveaway type of place as what you are. You're a real source. But the amount of work, the amount of even refrigerated units that you have there to keep food fresh, to keep it from spoiling, it's quite impressive what you have. And that's not a small operation.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. We're really fortunate. We've got a large walk-in freezer and a large walk-in cooler. We got wonderful relationships with Seminole County schools. We pick up some of the food from them. We also pick up food at local grocery stores, and so we pick up some of the meat and protein. And the sell-by date may be at, but not the use-by date. So our folks are trained by the FDA. They know what that is, and we're able to give that protein to families in need. You know, families come to us, and they'll get upwards of $200 of groceries, of meat, of produce, and canned goods, and other items that'll help support their families and what they need, along with hygiene products. We even have dog food and cat food because we know animals are important for some folks. So we have all of that available, and we give it to families. They come to us. And it's pretty amazing to see. And we invite you guys to come down and check us out.
You know, we've done just that. And this is something that I would like to encourage our audience in. Whether or not you've got children in your home that maybe could use a little bit of inspiration about love and compassion and caring for people who may not be as fortunate as them, but a trip to see your organization, whether it's a proper tour like what you're talking about, or just dropping by and looking around and pointing out, this is a group, the Sharing Center, that is doing a work that has to be difficult. I know it is. You've already mentioned how many volunteers it takes just to make this thing happen week to week to week. And yet you're doing it. And sometimes what would look like a lot of people might think this would be kind of difficult, depressing type of things, having to deal with people who are out of a job. Yet the people that work at the Sharing Center, Chris, have always just been the most joy-filled, happy, serving God, happy to be doing what they're doing. I just can't commend it enough.
Thanks, Mike. You know, there is joy in it. And there's joy in seeing the faces of the children or the men or the grandparents or the grandmother and seeing the people that receive this. Many of them are so thankful. And seeing that and then seeing our volunteers knowing they've made a difference. You know, we've had a lot of volunteers during COVID that really stepped up and were there every single day. Mm-hmm. And we still have some of those. We have some early retirees. We have folks that work from home that come in for a couple of hours. And it is such a joy-filled thing to see these folks and to know you've made a difference. You know, mm-hmm. when I was serving as a pastor for years in churches around the country, I looked for agencies like the Sharing Center because they were agencies that I knew that I could trust and refer families to need.
Mm-hmm.
And so we're, you know, we get a lot of referrals from our church partners and businesses say, you know, hey, go, you need help, go check out them. They're going to meet with you and talk about that.
And, you know, that is such a great partnership to have all of the churches that you work with. And then you add to that businesses that are really behind you. It's all being operated by a board that is straight out, just very full of integrity. And the people that lead, like Nina Yan on down. Again, you've got a crew there that is first class. And I really mean it. And it's really great for the shepherd to be able to recommend the Sharing Center to our listeners. And maybe if we pray that you will never need those kind of services, but you may well know people who do. And please point them to the Sharing Center. And then finally, just to say one more time to give this great event a plug, it's going to be on August the 28th, the Share the Light. And that's got to be fun. A dress up night, dress up like the 80s. And this is going to be a fun night to listen to music and silent auction, a lot of fun.
Yep. It's going to be a blast. We're excited. And again, Mike, I really want to reiterate, if you need help, our case managers are there Monday through Friday from 9 to 12. Come down, talk to them. You know, we want to be there to help you. So if you need help or you know someone that needs help in Seminole County, send them to us.
It's great. Chris Hamm from the Sharing Center, thanks for dropping by today.
Thanks, Mike. It's been a lot of fun.
Don't go away. We're going to be back in just a moment with Angie Hendrickson. That's coming up in a few right here on The Shepherd. Happy to be sitting in the studio with Angie Hendrickson. Flowers from Angie. And behind every business that has a name is a person.
Right.
And I've got the person here.
Here I am.
So, Angie, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to be here.
Well, it's great. Have you ever done a radio program?
I have not.
Well, this is a first.
Yeah.
That's great. Tell us a little bit about you, Angie. Where did you grow up? What part of the country?
So I am originally from Houston, Texas. Go big or go home, right? Everything's bigger in Texas. And I've been in Central Florida. Moved here about 3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, so we have the flower business. We've been doing that for almost 20 years. This July was our 19th anniversary.
How did you get into that?
So I was a very young mom, and I was working for a large grocer back home in Houston. And they had me helping with a few things around the store, making signs and decorating. And the florist there was out. And they said, hey, do you want to go over and play in the flower department? And I went, wow, sure, that sounds like so much fun. So went over there and started playing with the flowers and putting things together, and the sales increased, like, way increased. And
when you say playing with the flowers, yeah, you're talking about just creatively grouping one flower or an arrangement with, yes, another, that kind of thing?
Yes, exactly. And putting baskets together. We did fruit baskets and candy arrangements, hand-tied bouquets. Yeah, the big tall arrangements. Lots of different stuff happens in a large grocery store like that, for sure. And so stayed, and they offered me a position in that department. And I worked there for a little over a year. And then a lady who had been in the business for about 45 years took me in, and her and her husband owned a shop in Katy, Texas. And I pretty much went under their wing, and they taught me the business and how to price and do and have the networking side of it. So I was very grateful to have that connection in my life. They taught me a lot.
Now, you are a believer that, yes, you've been a believer for a number of years. Yes. Were you raised in a family that, yes, served the Lord?
Yes, I was. I was baptized and confirmed in the Lutheran Church, Wells Synod. We started going to church when I was in fourth grade, about 10 years old. So I've been a believer for 27 years.
Wow.
Now, and continue to be a testimony of the Lord, for sure. As we know, just being a Christian does not mean that we're going to have an easy walk in life, but that we know where to place our faith and our hope, and that God's got good plans for us.
Now, you said a mouthful when you said that one. We all know that suffering and problems, yes, and trials, the rain falls on the just and the unjust.
For sure.
It does.
For sure.
And I know you've had your share of that, and we're, mm-hmm, going to talk about that in a moment. Before we do, let's go back to the flowers for a moment. Yeah. Now, from Texas to Florida, and from working for people to kind of coming into your own company.
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about the fun and the challenges of owning your own flower shop.
Well, it's a 24/7 job, for sure. I also work in commercial insurance. So the flowers have taken, they're now a side business for me, and we only strictly do wedding flowers.
Mm-hmm.
So when we owned our shop in Houston, it was a full service. So we did everything from, you know, baby arrangements to weddings, to parties, to everyday decor, a little bit of home decorating, things of that aspect. And then I was given an opportunity to go into the insurance field. And so I'm a licensed agent for 6 years now. And so, like I said, it's a side thing now, but it is opened up, and it is definitely booming. Here we did 51 weddings last year in, mm-hmm, a pandemic, and that is the most weddings that we have ever done. So I've just continued to be a testament that God will provide mm-hmm, for us in our season, because we had a hard season last year as far as my relationship and my family side of it. So for sure, there's a lot of it going on.
It sounds like it. And when you talk about the pandemic and weddings, I'm surprised, because so many weddings that I had heard of were either put off or, mm-hmm, or maybe even postponed to now they're having weddings this year,
right,
as opposed to last year. But it sounds like you had a lot of them that actually took place in 2020.
We did. You know, gratefully, we live in a beautiful state that has great weather pretty much all the time, and we can do things outdoors.
Mm-hmm.
So for like March, April, May into June-ish, there really wasn't any events going on, just because of, you know, CDC regulations and things that, you know, were needing to be in place to keep everyone safe. And then as those restrictions started to lift, then we were able to move things outdoors and still be able to, you know, have some food served. And there was still pretty strict restrictions in place. But, you know, the venues and vendors, everybody came together and worked really well to make sure that we could get these events you know, taken care of for.
So the events might have been changed a little bit, or maybe even maybe lessened mm-hmm. in terms of how many people came to these things, but they still happen.
Yes, for sure. Some of these couples had been engaged for a year or 2 years, you know, and so the thought of them having to postpone or cancel was, you know, something that just was not an option for them, and which is understandable. I would be chomping at the bit too, going, let's go, let's do this. So I was glad that those events were able to take place.
Well, it's really nice to know that they did not cut out flowers, because flowers really do add so much to special events like weddings.
Sure.
I can't imagine it. You know, I think that any husband whose wife likes Magnolia and Aaron and Ben and our town, or all of the things from decorating, I've become a bit of a fan of some of those things myself, and never played with flowers.
Really?
But that's great, and it sounds like you have a real knack for that. Now, of the two things that you're in, flowers, insurance, is there a personal favorite for you?
I think both, because both are polar opposites. The insurance side is constant test for me. Like, it's the customer service side of the sales side of that aspect. And then the flowers is more or less kind of like a break from your day to day. And then you get to go and play with, you know, these pretty flowers and make something beautiful and take it and set it up and ooh and aah over it. And then, you know, go on with your day.
So you got both of those things going on right now.
Yes.
That's really great. Now, another aspect of your life is that you're working on a book.
Yes. Let's add in another thing. Why not?
Yeah. Why not? You've got all of this time.
Right.
So tell me a little bit about that.
So I went through a divorce last year. I was married for 14 years, and there is a very hard outreach as far as resources go for a Christian going through divorce. So I really feel like there's a lot of gray area there as far as Christian culture is concerned. There's a lot of things that we don't talk about, and I'd like to have a discussion about those things. I feel like a lot of men or women on both sides, you know, have dealt with very hard things, and there hasn't been someone to relate to on that aspect. So it's going to be a big sister talk, so to speak. It's not going to be and bad mouthing or, you know, placing any blame or trying to make it sound, you know, I want it to be where it's easily able for someone to understand and relate to and feel like it would be an olive branch to extend to bring someone to the Lord or bring someone back to the Lord to understand that regardless of what has happened in our lives, there is nothing that we have done that we would be forsaken for. Nothing. And so that grace aspect of it is I'm really going that's going to be the main key around the book.
Now, you mentioned this thing about being a big sister, like a big sister talk. Yeah, do you have somebody like that that's helped you through this?
I actually do. And she's my little sister. So my little sister and I are almost exactly 2.5 years apart. And her and I are very, very close. She's here in Florida as well. And yeah, so we really rely on each other a lot for that. Sister love and reinforcement and, you know, the, you can do it, go get it. She's wonderful. I just adore my sister.
You know, when you think about that now, it seems like happening as soon as this has happened to you, that it might still be a ways away that you'd want to be dealing with it, but it sounds like you're jumping right into the fray. And is that because of the fact that you're wanting just to help others with the comfort you've received?
I do. There was a couple books that Lisa Turkus with Proverbs 31 Ministries had come out with, and hers, the first book discusses affair, and you know, there may or may not be you know, where they're going to be able to mend that. And then the second book that she writes is a follow up to that. And she, you know, her marriage was, I can't think of the word off the top of my head, but the, you know, it was, they got back together.
Okay. It reconciled.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. And so that was a big factor for me, was to be able to see those two sides of it.
Mm-hmm.
And once I read that and I really surrendered my situation over, I felt a very strong calling that I needed to be sharing my story,
mm-hmm.
and showing that, yes, that while that's lovely and nice and can happen and that might be God's will, my situation is totally different. And there's a lot of people that, you know, will are going to understand that side of it as well.
Yeah, there certainly is not a one size fits all type of a solution for mm-hmm. a lot of these problems. And it is sad, and it's unfortunately much more common than what we would think in the church mm-hmm. or among believers. But sadly, again, that is the realities of what we're dealing with right
now. For sure.
There. So when you do this, you're making it as a potential study as well?
Yes, I'm looking at it as basically put it all out there and then let that be edited down and discussed and see where it fits into play. You know, I feel like God has, you know, made the way for me to have the resources to be able to put this together. And I think it'll be very helpful and beneficial, especially for the way that I'm trying to introduce it, is it being more of a big sister self-help, but also being faith-based.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that could be, right now I'm thinking book, and that could be something that could also turn into being a Bible study. Mm-hmm. It could be something that I could go and do talk conferences regarding. You know, it could be a journal, maybe something that someone, you know, it was a working journal that they, you know, had scripture and daily affirmations that they went through for a 30-day period, you know, while they were going through a divorce or a separation. Just really want to help, because I was not... I felt very alone and felt like I did not have good resources for me straight out of the chute. Mm-hmm. And, you know, once I was connect with my pastor and my pastor's wife and, you know, got into faith-based counseling and seeing a therapist. And, you know, once I started getting all these things put into play, then it was like, okay, there are resources and avenues that I can take for that.
Well, it sounds like God is using you and will use you with this in the future. And a big shout out. I understand you're part of J.J. Vasquez Church, Journey.
Yes, yes. Oh. We are new members over at Journey Church in Castleberry.
And that's in the High Line building over there. And that's got to be really cool. I've not gotten over to see that yet.
Yes, it is absolutely amazing. They do a great service over there. The worship experience, the production. I just blown away. It's great.
That's great. Well, tell him I said hello.
Will do.
So great to have Angie Hendrickson, Flowers by Angie, and a future book yet to be published. So be watching for that. Thank you, Angie, for coming
in.
Thank
you. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
And that is all of our time for today. Thanks for being with us. We'll see you next time right here on The Shepherd.